Each trader here.
We'll move up the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation for Wednesday, May 6. We'll try to close the doors so the cackling will be reduced. And for those of you who are listening at home or in the audience, we have a number of bills dealing with alcohol today, and it is not related to the fact that some people have shown up in chicken suits. But someone might make that correlation. So I'm going to turn this over to Senator Starr. I have to go testify, and I'll be back. But we have a quorum here. So.
Great. So we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2249. Jim, do you want to give us a brief overview?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the House Bill 2249 allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to refuse to issue a service permit if the applicant makes false statements to the commission, and to revoke or suspend a service permit or impose a penalty if the permittee makes false statements to the commission.
Great, thank you. I have one person signed up to testify on this bill, Dan McNeil.
Maybe the chickens can't sit in their suits.
We'll make the chicken stand. Please, go introduce yourself.
Mr. Vice Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dan McNeil. I am the statewide licensing manager for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2249. Essentially what the bill does is that it amends the current statutes that deal with the criteria for denying an alcohol service permit. Now, currently we have two statutes that deal with denial. One of those is ORS 471-380, and the other is 471-385. Both of those give the commission the authority to deny a service permit if a service permit applicant has made a false statement in the application for the permit. What this proposed bill would do is that it changes that and gives us more authority. It allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to cancel or suspend a permit if the person makes a false statement to the commission at other times. And that puts this in line with the statutes that we have to regulate our licensees and gives us a little bit more latitude. Under the current situation, the only time we could cancel someone's permit or suspend their permit regarding a false statement is if they actually put down false information on their application. There are many times that we contact our permittees when we're doing investigations of liquor law violations, and right now we don't have any tool to take action against a person that makes a false statement outside of that permit. This would give us a chance to apply a sanction to them for making false statements that may occur in the course of our investigation of a liquor law violation, or additional questions that we may ask in course of investigating their application for a service permit. So we hope that you support this bill. Are there any questions?
Questions, Mr. McNeil?
I have questions.
Senator Berger.
All right. Thank you very much. I guess that I'm really concerned a little bit about the process, not in what you want to accomplish. Obviously, if somebody's standing up just telling you false statements, you have a right to not give them a permit. But these permits are like gold to the person that has them, and they're so very important. So let's say in the licensing process, I'm accused of making a false statement to someone. What are my options to say, well, I didn't do that, I didn't say that, and there were no witnesses? It's my word against someone else's word. I just worry about that.
Well, Vice Chair Starr and Senator Berger, we do have due process built into all of our sanctions at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. We do a report, an actual written report, before we charge somebody with a violation, and that goes through a very thorough review process. When we issue a charge to somebody, charging them with violating the Liquor Control Act, they also have the right to ask for an administrative hearing, and so they can represent themselves and put forward their facts in a hearing that's held before an administrative law judge, and ultimately that judge makes the record on which we make a decision on that violation. So they do have due process rights and the ability to counter our allegations.
Okay.
Bring their own evidence forward.
Okay. Follow up, Mr. Chair. Is this a problem?
It is in some circumstances. We have had cases where a service permittee has lied when we're investigating a very serious public safety risk or an incident, and they've told us information which is not true, and usually that information is meant to either deny that an event happened or that that person was involved in any way in that. And so, yes, we do have problems with it, and we don't have any recourse right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of following up on what Senator Berger asked, in some of the other language we've seen when we write this kind of language and we say knowingly false statement, because somebody can get caught up where they tell you something that they believe is true at the time they tell you, and that turns out not to be the fact. Under this, they told you a false statement. It wasn't whether it was intentional or done with malice. How would that be protected in this?
Again, without the statutory language saying it's, well, first, the knowing is very difficult. I'll tell you that. It provides a great deal of protection for the person, because we then have to prove the state of mind of the person. And this does not have that specific language in it. Our process is, again, we do a thorough investigation, and our investigation would hopefully show us through other witnesses or other information whether or not this person made those false statements knowingly, or if it was just a misrecollection or they were acting on bad information.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. My understanding is the bill's not ready to move today, so we will bring the bill back at some later point, and we'll close the public hearing on...
Could I ask for one other thing? I did want
to... If you hurry, because I'm about to drop the gavel.
Okay. I wasn't sure the proper time to talk about the Dash 1 amendments that are proposed for the bill, and I also wanted... Those are being offered by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. They also deal with service permits. What those Dash 1 amendments would do, if they are carried forward, they deal with the alcohol service permit and when the service permit expires. Under our current system, an alcohol service permit, the person has to take an education class, an alcohol server education class. When they get the permit actually expires 5 years from the date that the permit was issued. The applicant can actually take that alcohol server education course up to 2 years before the permit is issued. What we'd like to do in these amendments is change the language on the expiration of the service permit to tie the service permit expiration date to the date they took that education. We believe that education is important, and by these amendments, we'd be assured that the person gets that educational class every 5 years. Under the current system, they really could go up to 7 years in some cases between the first class and the next mandatory class that they have to take. This change also puts the alcohol server education requirement in line with the requirement for our license holders. Our licensees who operate businesses have to take that alcohol server education class every 5 years to qualify for their license. Under the current system, it's very confusing to some licensees who also hold a service permit when we tell them, you need to take that alcohol education course, and they pull out their service permit and says, well, my service permit is still valid for another year. What do you mean? And it's a little bit of a conflict in the law. We'd really like to bring these in line with this amendment and also, at the same time, put the same requirement on licensees and permittees so they're all on the same field and that we're assured that they get that education every 5 years. And I'd be willing to take any questions about those proposed amendments.
Just one quick question, and again, we'll bring this bill back, because I've got Representative Schaffler here that I'd like to get back to, I'm sure, another committee he's in. As it relates to the Dash 1 amendments, have those been worked out with your licensees and permittees?
As far as having been reviewed by those, we have actually started out the legislative session with a proposal that would have changed the language. It also would have required a shorter time between education classes. As part of that process, we have open houses where we invite our public safety partners and our business partners to come and review that proposed legislation and comment on that. So we didn't get negative comments at that time, except about the three-year standard, essentially changing the standard to 3 years. We have taken that piece out and are going with the 5 years.
Very good. Thank you very much for your testimony. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2249. Appreciate you being here. And those amendments are available for anybody in the public. So if there's an issue or concern about those amendments, anybody that's in this hearing room and any of your licensees or permittees, please, we'll need to hear about that before we bring the bill back. With that, we will move 2611. Is that correct? We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2611. Jim, can you...
Yes, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2611 increases the preceding year production limits for brewery public house licensees selling a wholesale from 1,000 barrels to 5,000 barrels. It declares an emergency.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Mike Schaffler, State Representative, House District 48, Happy Valley, out of Southeast Portland. This bill went through the House Business and Labor Committee, which I'm the proud chair of, and had no opposition, passed off before I came over here. Essentially, all it does is change one number, allows public house licensees to produce 5,000 barrels rather than 1,000 barrels in a calendar year. These folks are producing premium beer. It's world renowned. The folks at the Pelican Pub and Brewery, when I met with them during the interim last year, said that as a result of this, they will hire several more workers because there's a demand for their product. In these economic times, I can't imagine a better idea than a business selling more product, hiring more workers, making more profit, paying taxes on that profit and that income that those workers make, and will get more money, more revenue out of beer without raising the taxes on beer. This is a great bill. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Are there questions for Representative Schaffler? I don't see any questions.
All right.
Thank you for your advocacy. Fantastic job.
You got for good work.
All right. So we've got four individuals that have signed up to testify on this bill. It looks like three of them want to come up together. So we'll call Darren Welch, Steve Moore, and Art Lawrence. They'll put a bracket around the three names. So leads me to believe they want to testify together. You just, whoever wants to start, introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darren Welch. I am the head brewer and one of the partners in the Pelican Pub and Brewery in Pacific City, Oregon, and I am in favor of House Bill 2611. I started over 20 years ago as an enthusiastic home brewer who dreamed of one day owning and running my own brewery. I pursued my passion for brewing for many years as a home brewer through college and my first career before finally joining the ranks of professional brewers. Moving back home to Oregon to open the Pelican Pub and Brewery in 1996 was really only the first of many lucky opportunities that I've had in my career so far. Current law limits the right of brew pubs to self-distribute their beer to an arbitrary production cap of 1,000 barrels per year. In other words, if a brew pub succeeds and grows larger than 1,000 barrels per year production, then that brew pub loses this important license privilege. This effectively punishes brew pubs for their growth by forcing entry into the regular three-tiered distribution system while their brands are still small, low-volume brands. At 1,000 barrels per year, quite frankly, the amount of beer that a brew pub can sell to a wholesaler is just too small to garner any real attention. Current law is essentially stacked in favor of the beer wholesaler, granting franchise rights once they begin distributing a particular brand of beer. It forces all brewers to work within a system that simply does not function well, nor was it designed for small brew pub operations. As inherently smaller operations, brew pubs do not enjoy the economies of scale that larger breweries possess. Another relevant factor is location. Brew pubs are typically located in high-value retail properties with accordingly higher rent or lease payments than production breweries, which are more typically in light industrial or warehouse districts. These are some of the issues that make the current three-tier system impractical for a small-volume brew pub. In order to be profitable distributing beer, brew pubs need the ability to do it themselves and to keep the margin that would otherwise go to the distributor. Because brew pubs are forced into the constraints of the current system with the emphasis on price necessary in order for the three-tier system to work, this functions as a barrier to consumer quality and selection. Many brew pubs will actually stop growing in order to retain the right to self-distribute their beer and to retain that margin that they need in order to survive. Others will worry about the neglect their low-volume brands might receive in a large distributing organization and how this can negatively affect quality. In the last year, we have seen major consolidations in the beer wholesale sector as large distributing companies have merged to form even larger ones. This consolidation further limits access to market for the smallest players. Brewpubs need the right to get out and build their own brand step by step and one customer at a time. House Bill 2611 will affect meaningful change for brewpub breweries. It will promote growth and jobs creation. With brewpubs given the chance to do it themselves, artificial limitations to growth will be removed. Brewpubs can control the destiny of their own brands, provide individualized customer service, constantly be vigilant for beer quality, rotate out old products, and otherwise build their brands from the ground up. As our brands grow, we will add brewery staff, drivers, sales staff, etc., to continue our growth. By setting the new limit to 5,000 barrels per year, House Bill 2611 will provide brewpub owners with enough ceiling so that adequate business planning can be made to ensure the long-term success and prudent investment necessary for taking what, quite frankly, is a little bit of a scary leap sometimes. I urge you to support House Bill 2611. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Senator Johnson, would you like to testify on this bill?
Sure. Yes, please, Mr. Chair, is what I meant.
Would you mind one of you stepping back so Senator Johnson can come and testify? She's one of the chief sponsors of the bill, and I'm sure that she has important legislative duties and as a courtesy to the Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good bill should pass. Thank you. Any questions? I thank you. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm the state senator from District 16 and have the privilege of representing the Pelican Pub and Brewery. They are one of a number of boutique breweries that have spread up around Oregon and are causing us to have a national, if not international, reputation for brewing and craft brewing. And I just would like to use this opportunity to thank the folks that were involved in bringing this bill to you in a spirit of cooperation and hopefully one that will allow the Pelican Pub and Brewery to be able to sell more of their wonderful product and help the economy of the coast. And I appreciate this chance to appear before you.
Thank you. Any questions for Senator Johnson? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you want to come back to the dais, we'll continue with the testimony.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, Senators. My name is Art Lawrence. I own the Cascade Brewing Company and the Raccoon Lodge in Portland. I'm one of the seven founders of the craft brewing movement in Oregon. 1984, came to Salem with Dick Ponzi of Bridgeport, the Widmer brothers, the McMiniman brothers, and Fred Bowman and I that did Portland Brewing Company to get this microbrewery craft movement started. Little did we know at that time what was going to happen in the next 25 years. I have since left Portland Brewing, now called Pyramid Brewing, and started my own place, this time without any partners. I grew small, and I want to grow strong. This gives me an opportunity to go out and do some of my own distribution. I want to get back to the roots where we all started from. All of us were small brewers at one time. There's been a group of nine that have sprung out of the pack that control 97% of the beer in Oregon. There's another 55 of us that are out there in this 3%, and that's what I'm worried about, this 3%. I'm on my way out of this craft brewing industry, but I want it to survive a long time since I'll be gone. And I want to give those that are behind me an opportunity to grow, be innovative, and be small and productive. Because I don't think that we're going to get another Widmer, a Deschutes, a Full Sail. I don't see anybody breaking out of the top seven pack. Any of us small 55s becoming one of another Widmer. I think we're going to be a lot of small breweries spread all throughout the state. And this gives a chance for everybody to grow equally. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for your testimony. I appreciate it. Mr. Moore.
Yes, my name is Steve Moore. I own Philadelphia Steaks and Hoagies in Southeast Portland. I'm often one of Oregon's smallest licensed breweries. Quite frankly, this bill won't affect my ability. I'm well below the 1,000 cap. But I look at this industry and look what it's done for Oregon. We have a national and international reputation. It's good for the agricultural industry. It's good for the restaurant industry. I have a 23-year-old son who likes to homebrew. Maybe he'll come into the business someday. So I'm really looking, what are we going to do to keep Oregon at the forefront of this? And we got there by this legislature 25 years ago, relaxing the laws with a little bit of vision. And so that's what we're looking for today, is let's keep it. We need to be relaxed about these things if we're going to stay ahead of everyone else. Otherwise, they'll start to pass us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there questions for the three panelists? Any questions, Senator George?
I just want to make a comment about the Pelican Pub and Brewery. Mr. Welch, I've been down to Pacific City, and you guys have become sort of the center of where all the tourists go, and I want to compliment you. You have a wonderful facility there, and you guys have done so many innovative things, so congratulations on your success. It's just really a neat facility you have down there.
And since we're in the complimentary stage, I would suggest that I've attended their gone to the Raccoon Lodge, so it's a fantastic place as well. So thank you very much for your testimony. We have one more person, Juanita Kirkham, who signed up to testify.
Good afternoon, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Juanita Kirkham. I'm from Florence, Oregon. I am in Senator Verger's district. I came all the way from Florence to testify about this bill because it is a very important bill to me personally. I went from being I'm a small brewery and brew pub regardless, but I went from being a brewery last year in July to being a brewery public house, and what I didn't do is read the fine print about my cap on barrels of beer for self-distribution. I'm nowhere near 1,000 yet, but I sure do hope to be at 1,000. I changed my license, like I said, in July to open a retail establishment because Wakanda Brewing is a destination point for tourists in Florence, Oregon, and Florence is tiny as Pacific City, I believe, maybe smaller, I'm not sure, but what our customers wanted from us was a place to come meet us, a place to taste all of our beers at one place, and so we have the opportunity to sell that retail. Several years ago, I went to a distributor. They were called Mount Hood at the time because I felt a little busy. I wanted to see what it took to get on one of those big trucks and have my beer come to Eugene, Portland, Salem. And what the distributor told me, quite frankly, and he was a kind man, but what he said was, you're going to get buried. We're not going to represent you because you are too small. We went on in the conversation. I asked him how much it would cost me to if I decided to go to the distributor, how much it would cost me. They quoted a price that they would pay me for my beer that is less than what it cost for me to make the beer. So at that point, when this bill came forward, I wanted to make sure I was up here talking to you about how important it is for me to be able to self-distribute. The last thing my Florence customers want is for me to have to haul my beer to a Eugene warehouse. They have to talk to Eugene representatives and then haul my beer back to Florence so that my Florence customers can appreciate the local brewery. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions?
I would be remiss if I did not welcome my constituent to Salem today. And for those of you who are listening and in the audience, Florence is a wonderful, quaint place to visit and extremely popular. I think sometimes it's a hidden secret on the coast. And so today you and I will invite everyone to come to Florence this summer and see it and enjoy your business as well as other quaint businesses that are there. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Senator Verger. Any other questions?
Thank you very much. This is, a great bill, and it's recognized as one of Oregon's jewels in all of our brew pubs. I'm going to close the public hearing on the bill and open a work session on House Bill 2611. I'm informed that this bill is ready to move if we had a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator George.
I move House Bill 2611 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George has moved House Bill 2611 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there discussion? Is there objection? So ordered. And Senator Virgil,
talk to Harriet?
Share that bill?
Sure.
And we will close the work session on House Bill 2611. And we're going to do the chicken bill next because I understand the chickens are hot.
I'll bet they are.
So with that, we will open a public hearing on the, what's the bill number?
2630.
On House Bill 2630A.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2630A abolishes the Oregon Fire Commission. It declares an emergency, takes effect upon passage.
All righty.
So here comes the chickens. You want to take over? We just opened the hearing on the chicken bill.
Okay. Okay, that's Jeff Bradley, Chicken Mike, and Chicken Tom. If you please come forward.
We just moved it already.
This one here.
Hearings on the first two.
Okay. Gotcha. Right. We haven't done this before.
Mr. Stenberg, you look pained.
I feel like
birds of a feather.
Try to build dignity over the years.
I know.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My name is Mike Dewey, representing the Oregon Fire Commission. Jeff Bradley is the chair of the Oregon Fire Commission.
Somebody needs to speak.
And the reason we have Tom Gallagher here is this is the only way that we can shut him up for a committee. First of all, I want to say, why did the chicken cross the playground? Get to the other slide. Why did the chicken go over to the basketball court?
Why?
Because he heard the referee calling fouls.
I see now why we need to abolish this.
So, Mr. Chair, we're having some fun here, and what we wanted to do is commemorate the ending of the Oregon Fire Commission and have a celebration and raise money for the Oregon Food Bank, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Mr. Bradley, as I said, is the chair of the Fire Commission, and effectively through two processes, the Fire Commission has suspended and terminated their involuntary assessment. And they did that through the administrative rules process. And they did that after many hours and days of debate, recognizing that the marketing of chickens in Oregon and the Northwest has changed. And I say that when the commission was first formed some 45 years ago, there were a number of processors. There are now only two processors in the in Oregon or the Pacific Northwest, Draper Valley and Foster Farms, and they do all of their own advertising and marketing. And so it got to a point where recognizing that there was not a need for the growers to do that, and I wanted to have the chair talk a little bit about the process that they got to decide to abolish the Oregon Fire Commission, if you will.
Chicken processing, tell us about that.
Hi, my name is Jeff Bradley. I'm chairman of the Oregon Fire Commission. I might wing it a little bit here, but we'll try. My family's been in the poultry industry for 40-plus years. And in the history of the Fire Commission was created by the growers to support needs that they needed to keep their businesses going, their farms running. Those needs were used quite well over the years, and today the industry has changed. The main goals and purposes of the commission from way back in history isn't needed like it was at the time, and the financial end of it is we need the money back to help support our farms, and the industry will continue on as it is currently. Without this commission, may not be as colorful as some of the events we produce, but that's kind of where the commission has come to, the needs and the purposes of what it used to do to what it is doing now, and the financial needs of the growers.
Thank you.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, there is a provision in the bill that provides that the dollars remaining as of June 30 go back to the growers on a pro rata share. And Oregon State University approached us about having that money go to research for chicken research, if you will. And it was one of those situations where, at the end of the day, there's only going to be $20,000, so we thought it was appropriate to go back to the individuals that paid the assessment. It's not a substantial amount, and it's not going to balance your budget, but I did want to point out that provision in the bill. I do want to say that I've been in this body now for about 35, 36 years.
That body?
I feel that way right now. Having said that, I would say that in another 35 or 36 years, I will probably get in another outfit like this. These are very, very cool. I want you to know there's an air conditioning system in these, and so it's really very nice. I'm just kidding you, by the way. Mr. Gallagher, do you have any final comments?
Chicken Tom.
Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Because my glasses are fogged over.
A little. Yeah, you're pointing the right direction.
I'd like to just say a few words on behalf of chickens, because the commission actually represents the growers and the processors and so forth. And is my representative here yet, Mr. Chair? All right. I think there's a couple of bills that could be amended in this session to help chickens. I just found out what a fryer is and what a fryer's future is. I think we're automatically eligible for medical marijuana cards. Chicken and not a terrified chicken. I think, Mr. Chair, that chickens should be allowed to organize, and that you can amend a bill allowing for peck-off for chickens for a long involved NRB election, because most of the initial fryers will no longer be there. The last thing I'd like to say, Mr. Chair, is we have a state rock, and we are about to have state soil. We have a state crustacean. I think this state needs a state chicken, and I'd like to nominate Mike Dewey.
Well, thank you.
The chair has already called me chicken. On a serious matter, we have, and this is really Fawn McNeely, who works with Tom and myself. She has been working everybody over in this building, and so far we have raised over $3,000 for the Oregon Food Bank. And so had that not been the suggestion about doing this fundraiser, I can assure you we would not be in these outfits today. So with that, Mr. Chair, we rest our case, and we're happy to answer any questions. I see the good Senator Representative Berger is here today, and she is my fine legislator. I just want to point that out.
Well, thank you. I think what I'm going to do, I have one more person to testify. If Chicken Tom and Chicken Mike can stay up. Mr. Bradley, if you could just step aside for a moment, and Senator Johnson has come in to join the feathered flock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm the state senator from District 16. I didn't know I would be back before you so soon. However, turning on the TV in my office, I was compelled to come down for two reasons. First of all, the last time I appeared before a transportation committee in the company of an animal, my bill died. when Smokey Bear and I visited with the House Transportation Committee, be fair to the bear, get the bear a license plate, the bill augured in. But I came down today. If these two dumb clucks can certify that they're Oregon chickens instead of Arkansas or any other foreign jurisdiction chicken, our office pooled our resources and came up with a donation for the food bank. So on that certification, I would be more than happy on behalf of our office to make a contribution to your growing booty of food bank money.
Thank you. And the we appreciate your contribution, and the collection is going to be taken in the back of the room, Ms. McNeely, and that's very good. The chicken suits were designated. Thank you, Senator, for if they could get $1,000 in donation. As mentioned, it's over $3,000 now. Mr. Simmeridge is pulling out his wallet to help us some more. You know, it's not often we have people come and before us and ask us to do them in. But we do appreciate that. So, committee, I'm sure there's a lot of questions for our guests here. So, questions of the committee for either Chicken Tom or Chicken Mike. I can't believe this. My committee is never quiet. This is your opportunity, and you're passing. Well, go cluck on. Thank you. We'll close the public hearing on work session.
Thank
House
you.
Bill 2638.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2638 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2638 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Who would like to carry the Friar Commission abolition to the floor? I guess I will be carrying it, but not in a chicken suit. All right, we'll close the work session. Open up a public hearing on House Bill 2753.
That's what we're all here for. Okay, we're done.
Chairman, House Bill 2753A reorganizes and clarifies provisions regulating pawnbrokers. It authorizes pawnbrokers to charge a $3 fee for replacement of a lost, stolen, or destroyed pawn ticket. It limits pawnbroker storage fees to a maximum of $100. It provides the pawnbroker and pledger may agree on a 60-day renewal periods for the pledge loans. It establishes notification requirements before a pawnbroker may deem a pledge of more than $500 be forfeited. It limits local government to fees to not more than $1 per pledge loan for the purpose of establishing and using a system to track pledged articles.
Okay, Mr. Paul Romain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romain, representing the Oregon Pawnbrokers Association. It's sort of hard to follow what just occurred, but this really is a very simple bill. I don't even know what I should say. House Bill 2753 passed the House Committee unanimously. It got a few no votes on the floor of the House just because we stopped counting when we got to 50. We didn't need any more. Didn't talk to people. It's basically, it makes changes in the statutes that regulate pawnbrokers today. We're really the entry-level banks. That's what a pawnbroker is. Consumers pledge items of property in return for money. The rates and other terms of those loans are highly regulated in statutes and rules. And because of this close regulation, pawn statutes have to be revisited periodically to update the provisions, and that's what this bill contains. Going through very quickly, Section 1 of the bill is only modernization of language. Section 2 allows a pawnbroker to charge a lost ticket fee up to $3. It's basically a ticket is like a bearer bond. If you lose it, it's very expensive. The only substantive change in Section 3 is in Paragraph 3. The storage fee is increased to 3%, but before where there was no maximum, and there's now a maximum imposed. Storage is a very expensive item for a pawnbroker just because you're storing goods. Section 4 increases the firearms fee from $3 to $5. It can only be charged when the firearm is initially placed with the pawnbroker, and it covers the cost of complying with government regulations of firearms. Section 5 makes clear the difference between a new loan and a renewal. It changes the notice requirements when a pledged item is subject to forfeiture to reflect the real world. Current law requires notice to be sent by certified mail to everyone where the loan is greater than $500. The problem is that most people in this category don't really open their certified mail, so we're finding people don't get the notice. So what we did was we put in regular mail up to 1,500 and anything above 1,500 regular and certified mail. There is no current requirement for notice below $500. And Section 7 limits the amount of fee a city or county may impose for each loan to no more than $1 to pay for a system to track pledged items. There's only one jurisdiction right now that even does that. That's Lane County. They impose a lump sum that caused the problem because there's no way for us to recover that. But we needed to limit it because for consumer protection reasons. What we did, as we always do with the pawnbroker bills, we went to the regulatory agency, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, worked out all our problems with them. They agreed to the bill. We worked out afterwards problems with the local governments. So everybody's on board. There were no objections to the bill from any consumer watchdog group. We would urge your passage.
Thank you, Mr. Romaine. Questions? Okay, I have anybody else would like to testify in House Bill 2753A? Okay, we'll close the public hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2753A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Verger, would you carry the bill?
Yes, I'll
be you won't believe this, but I'm going to ask that for the committee if we could unanimous consent to suspend the rules for the purpose of reconsidering the vote by which we just passed out the chicken bill because of an amendment that we have to put in this bill that we overlooked at the time.
So moved.
Okay. Is there any objection for suspending the rules for the purpose of bringing 2630 back into the committee's possession? Not so ordered. It is back before us. Correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, would you like me to explain?
Yes, Mr. Stenbridge.
There's a typographical error in the bill. There's a citation that refers to ORS 476.455. There's no such statute. It needs to refer to ORS 576.455, and that's all the dash A2 amendment does. We have gone through the fiscal and revenue analysis of this amendment, and the fiscal and revenue analysis are the same as the bill.
Okay,
Surprisingly enough.
Yeah, so Mr. Simmons, they decided the wrong ORS. They actually put the Fire Commission in with the state fire marshal statute, which may be appropriate, Fire Commission, state fire marshal, but it's not the right place for it. So, Senator Starr.
Move the dash A2 amendment to House Bill 2630.
Okay, Senator Starr has moved the dash 2 amendment to House Bill 2630. Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Now we'll try again on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move the bill as amended to Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2630 to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered, and I've already designated myself as a carrier. Okay. Now, we have to go back to one bill, correct, Toll?
Yes.
And that is House Bill, public hearing, House Bill 2528. Mr. Stenbridge.
Chairman, House Bill 2528 allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to issue special events licenses to brewery public house licensees.
Okay, I have Jamie Floyd.
Good afternoon, Chairman, fellow committee members. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. For the record, my name is Jamie Floyd. I am the president of the Oregon Brewers Guild and part owner and founding brewer of Ninkasi Brewing in Eugene, Oregon. I'm simply here today to tell you that the Oregon Brewers Guild is in full support of House Bill 2528 and recommend for its passing. Thank you.
That's very fast. By the way, members, we also have a letter from Representative Gelser, who was going to testify today but had to go home ill, so she has put this in. Do we have any questions for Mr. Floyd? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Floyd.
Thank you.
Is there any concerns about the bill? Everybody understand it okay? Okay. Public hearing, open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move the bill to Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 2528 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? Ordered. Senator Starr, would you carry this bill?
Sure. Please?
Okay, is that our agenda for the day, I believe?
I think so. I think you've covered everything, but one bill you did not pass out that you're going to carry over until we get a corrected amendment.
Okay. And then tomorrow?
Tomorrow you have four bills. It's Transportation Day, so you have it's called a pullover provision, some amendments to that. Vulnerable user public right-of-way. And you also have a revisit on the for-hire carrier for household goods bill.
That's the one we have drafted the amendment to delete seven words and add an emergency clause to that bill, and we'll pass that out tomorrow. Okay, we're adjourned.
Mr. Chairman, did you...